like to welcome everybody to the Health Commission meeting for May 10th, 2021. As a reminder, anyone interested in making public comment can email public comment to mcoughlin@co.slo.ca.us. There are versions of the agenda and any addendums to the agenda available by simply Googling San Luis Obispo Health Commission. Also links to any previous held meetings for video and audio will be there. With that, I am going to cede the floor to our chair, our vice chairperson, who is operating as chair pro tem today. And that would be Jean Raymond, chair pro tem for tonight's meeting.
Okay, welcome everyone. I'm called to order our meeting for May 10th. Is there any public comment?
There is no public comment.
Thank you. At this point in time, we do have an action item, but we don't have a quorum, so we can table that and see if we have anybody join us. Anyway, the next item on the agenda would be information. Any updates from topics from previous meetings? Does anyone have any updates they would like to share? Do you want to talk, I mean, even though we can't have an action item, do we want to share some information from that meeting we had on the 7th? Is that something we will have to table as well, Michael?
We can have a discussion. We just cannot take a vote or take any sort of action other than actions that the chairperson themselves can do.
Okay. So since we have no other items, information items, maybe we'll go back to the action item and just actually have a discussion about the meeting that took place on May the 7th. It was the Education Committee in a request from the community COVID, CAPSLO requested that the community be educated about, parent awareness. So anyway, is it Tamara? Could you speak to the group, since you were the chair of this this committee, our education committee, about what was discussed during that meeting?
Sure, happy to. So as Jean mentioned, CAPSLO came to the Health Commission with a request to educate, in particular, their parent community. They have, I believe, around 12 childcare sites across the county. And as part of the childcare program, parents are required to attend monthly meetings. And for one of their meetings, they would like the Health Commission, or have asked the Health Commission, if it would be possible to provide a presentation specifically on the COVID vaccine. The science, the efficacy, accessing the vaccine, and potentially addressing any sort of myths, and then just general questions or general information on COVID safety. This item was taken to the Community Education Subcommittee, where we discussed the possibility of being able to do this. We discussed the option, and CAPSLO was open to the idea of potentially pre-recording a presentation. So they have 12 different sites. They meet at various times, primarily after work hours, and they are flexible with the Health Commission. If we were not able to, say, be at every meeting, we could provide a pre-recorded presentation that they may be able to play at their at the different sites. They did request that some sites have a live person there to provide the presentation, and they've flagged that for us as to which sites those are. And the committee sort of discussed the essentially really the viability of being able to put together a presentation, to do so with existing materials so that we're not duplicating efforts, really utilizing with the public health department has available in terms of public information. that this is something that we would, as a committee, be able to put together. We also discussed the option of potentially enlisting some health commission members to help us with the execution of the presentation, so to be able to help be volunteer presenters, once the presentation has been developed. This will be something that we'll need to act on fairly quickly if and when the Health Commission is able to vote on the matter. Their childcare sites start to close down for the summertime. So essentially, shutdown begins in June, and then other sites will shut down in July. So the sooner we would be able to provide this presentation, the better for their population. So that's sort of where things stand with the request.
Is there any other further discussion? Is there anybody? Yes, Lynn.
I just have a question. Since we are not able to vote on this action item tonight, and we have the time constraint of them closing in June, we'd be kind of behind it if we didn't have some way to obtain a vote of the majority of commissioners. Michael, is there any way we can do that without calling a full meeting and all of that?
There's a few options on what we can and can't do. What we can do is any actions that are within the purview of the chair, which is if the chair chooses to set up an ad hoc committee to work on this, that can be done. We could also have, since a vote couldn't happen here, we could have the subcommittee that voted on it, the community education committee, they can actually work on it. However, nothing can be released until it's approved by the Health Commission, because it would be released as a Health Commission program or project. So they would have to vote. If we wanted to get it out before the next Health Commission meeting, if we do not wind up with quorum at any point today, the best option would be to hold a special meeting later in the month, which we'd have to give a minimum 72 hours notice of.
Oh, I'm going to suggest we consider that, because I think we wanted to actually get started by the end of May and get really rolling. I mean, the time to develop it, I understand that can be worked on, but then in order for us to cover the meetings that they want, at least four sites there they wanted a live person, we'd have to kind of be able to go forward.
Well, I do have a question for, Tamar. Did you talk with CAPSLO about the actual parent meetings? Will they be meeting before? I know they're going to be closing some of them end of May and some in June. So, I mean, the time frame, will they have actual meetings with the parents before then?
I haven't gotten any sort of clarification as to the sites and the specific date attached to that month's parent meeting, other than that there is a parent meeting monthly. So if they are deciding to shut down in June, I assume that there's a parent meeting before shutdown happens. But I will need to reach out directly to CAPSLO to get confirmation on the meeting dates, especially for that month of June, to see if that's something that we would be able to make.
So maybe the recommendation would be to form the ad hoc committee to put something together and get those dates solidified. And if it's possible, if indeed it's possible, then call the meeting to have in the special meeting, which we'll have to have the 72 hours. Is that something that could happen? With the ad hoc committee, can we call an ad hoc committee together?
So the chair can appoint an ad hoc committee, and I think the chair can call for a special meeting, can't they, Michael?
The chairperson has the purview to call together an ad hoc committee. And then either the chairperson or staff can actually recommend either. This wouldn't fall under an emergency meeting, but we could call a
special meeting.
A special meeting, but we would have to achieve quorum at the meeting to take a vote.
I mean, we can call, I call as the acting chair an ad hoc committee to investigate the options. And should it be a viable option, I would make the recommendation that we could have a special meeting set up. I just know that the timing is going to be really very important.
And the chair can appoint who the members are of that ad hoc committee you create. So it might be good to clarify that.
Well,
yes. Membership, just as a point of order, membership of the ad hoc committee can be no more than five. In other words, they would constitute a quorum of the health commission.
So the I believe the rules say that, like, well, Tamar and Candace were the ones that had offered to put the program together, so they should be part of the ad hoc committee. Is there any other members here that would like to become part of that ad hoc committee? And we need some community input. Is that correct, Michael? Or can one of these people, like Tom, being a community member, be on the ad hoc committee?
Any health commission members can be on the ad hoc committee. Also, since it's an ad hoc committee with this one task, once the committee is formed, they can invite non-members to be a part of the process also.
Is that something you're interested in, Tom?
I think you've got two wonderful folks that can recruit some good support. I think that would be just fine.
Lynn, are you going to be part of the ad hoc committee?
I'll be more blunt. Nope, I'm fine.
We really only need the committee to settle on the dates. Right? Like, that's all we need to do. And then we can call a special meeting and vote on it and just go, right? Like, we can do this within the next
You can use the ad hoc committee. It does not have to be a formal meeting with the ad hoc committee. You can use that to develop the work product. We just can't share the work product until it's approved by the board. Just realize doing it this way, there is always a chance that when it comes to a vote to the overall committee, that after you put in work, they can say no, and they can or they can change the scope of what we're doing.
I trust everyone here.
But we just need a quorum at some point
to vote on that. Yeah, but I think I'm happy to serve on that ad hoc committee, we can always start with the two of us, with Candace and myself, and if the rules designate that, we can then invite others to be on the ad hoc committee, particularly if we'd like to have a member of the community who has particular expertise that we would like to tap into in development of the presentation, then I think we're happy to do that.
A question, Michael, when you said no more than five, does that mean no more than five commissioners or no more than five people total?
Commissioners.
Okay.
Linda,
no more than five commissioners can be on the ad hoc committee. And also, it does not have to be pulled from commissioners that are present. If there's a commissioner that is seen to be needed, it's not actually volunteers, it's appointments. So the chair has the right to call any health commission member to be a part of it.
You can appoint three board members that aren't here. It'd only be fair.
Well, then go ahead, Lynn.
I'd be willing to serve on the ad hoc committee. I mean, I was already on the education committee, but that...
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, if you need another member.
I know I'm going to be leaving on vacation, so it's going to be kind of tough, but I can help out with making some of the outreaches, is being if it's a day that I'm here to be helpful, because they would want a live person. But that's where, you know, I think I will have to stand back. But I will appoint Tamar, Candace, and Len, and then they can add whomever they'd like. There's three there. Is that agreeable to you, Mike and Michael?
Yes, and would you also, while we're at it, like direct staff that to start exploring dates for an emergency, a special meeting later in the month?
That would be great, based on Thank the you. Times that they are available for, you know, giving the presentation 72 hours prior, and then to have an action from, or a vote from, the rest of the people that are, because if it's going to be, I might not even be here, so I couldn't be in the quorum.
Well, you're leaving the 25th. Guess we already know then. We better have it before then.
Yes. Is anybody else leaving out of town?
Well, I have a number of meetings. I think if you stuck with any Monday, I don't have anything on Monday nights anyway, other than the Health Commission. But I think whoever, Michael or someone, could kind of check out there and see what's available. And I think Michael can find out if there's a potential quorum, and we'd be good to go.
I will select some dates and contact the Health Commission to find suitable meeting times.
Thank you, Michael.
So I just wanted to pop in while we're discussing this, because I wasn't able to go to the last education meeting. I am going to be recording a vaccine information Q&A this week with Cal Poly. So I'll have the presentation kind of put together from that. It'll be more directed towards students, but I can make that available, and people can maybe comment on what more needs to be in the presentation that's specific to the parent groups, maybe. It's going to be, like, I think, 20-minute presentation with some slides, and then a Cal Poly comms person will be interviewing me.
Maybe as part of our ad hoc meeting, maybe we can get together and as an ad hoc committee review, and then come up with an outline and start dropping in info.
Yes. Is it okay to ask Dr. Rosen at this point in time if there's anything from the public health department that we should be mindful of?
Sure thing. Let me get my video going. There we go. So, yeah, there's a fair amount to talk about. Per usual, almost all of it is related to COVID. An update in terms of where we are with respect to vaccination. So at this point, 54% of vaccine-eligible individuals within our county have been vaccinated. And what we have seen is a significant drop-off in demand for first doses. This week and next, we'll still see pretty good numbers for second doses, but the individuals requesting appointments for first doses, that number has dropped dramatically.
So what is public health doing as far as the people that are requesting the information, their parents of young children? Is there anything that we need to be mindful of, or the ad hoc committee should be mindful of, or you have, that's available so that they can, you know, stress the important points?
Specific to children?
Well, it's the parents, and they're asking questions about the vaccine itself, and, you know, they just want information so they can be informed. Is there anything already available through public health? I know you're doing some public announcements.
Right. some outreach, right? Most really, there's not. CDPH has some very good resources, and the best place to look for that, I would say, is Vaccinate All 58 effort. That's the name of basically the vaccine promotion program. They have ads on YouTube that are great, and in particular target a variety of ethnic groups. When it comes to children, one bit of information, obviously, is that ACIP voted to approve extending Pfizer down to 12 years of age. That just happened today. The Association of Western States should be voting likewise either tomorrow or the following day. So that is a new development. But I would point you to Vaccinate All 58. We're just now in the process of getting the very early phases of trying to get sort of a media and literature push together geared towards vaccine hesitancy that would include children, young folks as well.
Tamar, do you have any other questions for Dr. Rosen?
No, I think we can certainly start there, and then would the public information officer be a good resource for us if we wanted to just check in on some materials?
Yeah, the public information. So the two folks I would point you to are the public information officer, and I take it you already have that email, hopefully, the PIO. Okay. And then the other good point of contact would be Jen Miller, who's been working on the vaccine task force. But she is now very involved in the mobile vaccine clinic efforts, as well as attacking vaccine hesitancy. So she would be a good resource.
Thank you. Candace, do you have any questions for Dr. Rosen?
No, I don't think so. I think the CDPH did a pretty good job with their ads, and like the Ad Council has some really good ones as well that we've used. I think it's mostly just getting to the right people.
Well, then I guess we have our ad hoc committee, and then we'll be working on a date for having a special meeting. Any other discussion about this topic? Okay, I guess we're going on to the next health agency public health report. So I guess we're going back to Dr. Rosen.
Okay, sounds good. So on that note, I'll just start with the items that are related to vaccine hesitancy and access. And Mike, this is when hopefully you can do some screen sharing, if that's possible. So first up, as I had just mentioned, so Jen Miller has been working on mobile vaccination efforts, there is a that first link that you see there is where folks can go to sign up for mobile vaccine clinics. Currently, we're taking requests from businesses within the county. We have been targeting and continue to target communities that have issues with access to vaccines or some barrier to vaccination, and that's really who we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's going a bit slow. Should I move on to the the second item? So the next item is there's an NAACP forum that is upcoming, also targeting vaccine hesitancy. That's going to be on May 17th in the evening. Oh, sorry, May 12th. Excuse me. May 12th in the evening. So there is the flyer for that. And that involves a diverse group of healthcare providers. And again, that's something that we are partnering with NAACP to put on. And lastly, the third item related to our efforts around vaccine hesitancy and access are vaccine champions. So there is also a sign up to become a vaccine champion. And I would urge all of you, if you haven't done so already, to sign up to be a vaccine champion. And that's also a link that will be included in the agenda and we could look at. Okay. One out of three isn't too bad. Next. As I had just mentioned, so ACIP put out a statement extending eligibility for the Pfizer vaccine down to 12 years of age. So that's great. Before we act on that, we are awaiting a statement from the Association of Western States as well as CDPH. And again, we expect that either tomorrow or the next day. More in the way of vaccines. So on Friday of last week, we issued a press release making official that our last day of mass vaccination activities, so our community vaccination sites, will be June 4th. Just in general, we're in the process of demobilization with respect to our COVID-19 response. That will be the first big step. Shortly thereafter, we will be moving all of our supplies for the alternate care site into storage, inventorizing and storing all of those materials. And we will, at some point, move out of the Emergency Operations Center. So that's an exciting prospect for many of us who have been there for over a year now. In terms of disease activity, things are trending in a positive direction. So this past week, though we had moved into the orange tier prior to last week was the first week that our unadjusted case rate was below the 6 cases per 100,000 for COVID. And that was, in my mind, that was a significant benchmark. That was not something that we've accomplished in a very long time. In terms of response testing, which is a lot of what I'm involved with, we are currently participating in response testing at three different congregate sites. One is a residential care facility for the elderly, and the other two are sober living homes. It compares very favorably with what things looked like in January and February. And again, when we do participate in response testing at those locations, we're seeing the vast majority of residents have been at least partially vaccinated, if not fully vaccinated. Now that, in addition, we're a bit further into our experience with whole genome sequencing, we've been working with the BioHub at UCSF, and we do have all, if not nearly all, or I should say nearly all, of the well-known variants in our county. So the most common variant that we've seen is B117, also known as the UK variant. That recently, I would say just within the last 2 weeks, surpassed the West Coast variants, B1427 and B1429. So those are pretty close in numbers. And then third on the list, we've seen some cases of the South African variant. Those are in, those numbers are in the low teens. And we have also, unfortunately, seen some cases of the P1 variant, which is the also known as the Brazilian variant. So we now have 5 cases of that. In terms of schools, we are getting a better sense of what schools will look like next fall. So we anticipate that masking will still be an expectation and for students and staff. However, it looks like physical distancing recommendations will be going away for the fall, and we should see a return to a regular on-campus school schedule for K through 12 students. We do anticipate that there will still be some testing ongoing next year, at least for sports that are associated with schools. And we're working towards a combination of both point of care antigen testing and point of care molecular testing. So, which would allow for schools to to meet all of their testing needs on site if they go ahead and enroll in the state program. And all of those testing supplies would be free of charge. So we've been working with schools on that. We'll help them through the summer with the expectation that they will then transition to the state program, or if they would prefer, work with a commercial vendor. In terms of vaccination clinics at schools, that is something that we're exploring, particularly now that the Pfizer vaccine has been approved down to 12 years of age. So that is something that we are in the early stages of working out with administrators, school nurses, et cetera. In terms of exciting news on the public health lab front, we should be able to perform whole genome sequencing within our very own public health lab as early as this week. We're going to start our experience with that and see how it goes. And again, sorry, one more item circling back to schools, a couple of things. So one issue of concern is that we're starting to see, similar to how we were seeing medical exemptions for vaccination, just generally speaking in schools, we are now starting to see letters for mask exemptions for students, including students who are not enrolled in IEPs. So that's a concern. I've been reaching out to CDPH to see if they will help with a response when those issues come up. And we've been working closely with the schools and school nurses to try to address those issues when they arise and minimize those requests. And finally, we have approved a handful of end-of-year sporting events involving high schools. You know, think CIF sectional championships for the central section. So those have been approved in golf, track, and swimming, and I anticipate there will be a few more. These are all larger events. Thus far, all the events that have been approved are planned for the outdoors. And that's all I've got.
Just as a point of housekeeping, the slides and the flyer that Dr. Rosen showed are now available on our website as addendum to the agenda.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Rosen? Candace?
I just had it's not even a question. I just wanted to say thank you to the Public Health Department. I'm so thrilled with both the level of vaccination and that you're transitioning over towards really micro-targeting people in particular, because our syringe exchange program is going to have a pop-up clinic this week, and we got like 30 people signed up and, you know, had a lot of really great conversations. I think that more people, when they see their community members getting vaccinated, I think that's going to be really impactful, you know. I really appreciate you, Jen and Abby and you. I just really appreciate all of you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else have a question? Yes, Tamar.
A quick question on schools, Dr. Rosen, as you guys look ahead to the fall, has there been any sort of discussion on schools requiring kids to be vaccinated? If schools go back to a normal, regular schedule and with no physical distancing, is that something that you know of, if the school districts in the area are considering as an option?
So I know that both the UC and CSU systems have taken the position that they will require it as soon as the COVID vaccines obtain full FDA authorization. But no such position has been taken by the K-12 schools yet, or CDPH, or the State Office of Education, with respect to that.
And then with the sports testing sort of being on site at schools, I think that's fantastic. A lot of the complaints I've heard from parents has been the constant rigorousness of the test and how it's a pain. So I think having it being available on school sites will be great. Is there a cutoff in age for those tests, and or is it still going to be the certain sports that are high contact or for all?
So, that's a good question. So I think it will certainly, so I can't say for certain what it will look like in the fall, but I'm confident that it would include at least the indoor sports, and the age cutoff would remain for the time being, the age cutoff is 13.
And one last question. I know many families are excited to get back into traveling again and going places. And I know that there are already, seems to be, many summer plans. obviously the recommendations should still stay the same with distancing, but is there anything else that you would provide as guidance to families who are considering taking trips, who have, you know, where you have the mixed vaccinated families where the adults are vaccinated and kids are not? Is there any sort of guidance you can share that then we can relay to families and I think would also potentially be relevant to this presentation that we would also be sort of working on of what that guidance is for that mixed vaccinated family?
Right. So my first piece of advice would be vaccinate if you can. And then if you're a family with a mixed vaccination status, then I would say you should anticipate your children who are your unvaccinated children having to quarantine for 10 days upon your return. So you should schedule accordingly and make plans accordingly. And that, so that would mean planning a vacation at least 10 days before the start of school in the fall, and also avoiding large gatherings for the family after your return from travel. And that only applies to out-of-state travel. So traveling in-state, folks don't have to worry about those issues.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Do you have any, Tom?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate all your hard effort and your diligent attention to detail. And the team is a wonderful, hardworking team. I had someone in the community that said, do they take any time off for their own health? I said, gosh, you know, I didn't even ask that question.
Good question. Hopefully soon.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. Again. Are there any health commission updates? Did anybody attend any meetings?
Well, I've got a partial question anyway. Michael and I, and also the chair, corresponded a little bit. I followed up with an earlier discussion about some topics proposed for future meetings, and we had down potential for pedestrian safety, I thought, and I did check in with Michael, and we contacted San Luis Council of Governments, and they're ecstatically happy to present on pedestrian safety sometime, and also talk to a friend of mine that's on our planning commission in Atascadero and on a number of regional boards, who's an architect in a wheelchair that's been a consultant for a lot of cities and government entities planning for such things. And so I think the question was, are we going to kind of stick to the agenda of when things were scheduled? I know we talked about maybe revisiting that. We weren't able to do that tonight. I know Michael has given it some thought, but I'd be happy to help coordinate on that particular one if perhaps at the next meeting we can review that schedule of presentations and see what fits. Or do you have any suggestions on that? Either Gene or Michael.
Pedestrian safety is actually scheduled for next month. It was on the...
Yeah, if we're sticking with that, then Michael and I could go ahead with SLOCOG.
I believe when I talked to Mary Jean Sage about it, she wanted to continue with the schedule as is.
Okay.
So we were looking for the June meeting, and I received your emails, and usually what I'll do is I'll reach out to the speaker about 3 weeks before the meeting, and we do very basic setups now, so just take them through what our limited capabilities are for slides and that during a Zoom meeting.
So how long do you see us doing Zoom meetings? Until the end of the year?
I would say safely till the end of the year. I know in June they're going to be opening up. I don't know how that's going to impact public meetings yet. Trying with our committee, with the Health Commission, it wouldn't be an issue to limit the number of attendees to, so you could have social distancing. However, we fall under the Board of Supervisors, and so whatever plan we follow has to follow what they need to do, and realize an in-person meeting for the Board of Supervisors is usually standing room only. So it may be a while because they set the tone on what we follow, and we follow it because we're a subservient committee.
Because it looks like, you know, in the month of July, we have a planning meeting. So that would be, of course, a Zoom meeting, and we can all make plans for the, see, I'll just read down what I have so far. So August would be food security, COVID response and flu season preview. In October is homeless and shelter presentation. November, care coordination, and then in the December, another, you know, retreat planning meeting. So does anybody else that's here to this evening have anything that they think would be timely? I know we did not do anything on foster care or the Center for Family Strengthening this month. Do you want to just follow what we had set in place? I see some heads shaking, yes. Any suggestions, Tom?
Well, down the road, I think we're kind of missing the peak tourism season, and I know wineries are just incredibly busy, and we've got backlogs for lodging and vacation rentals and desire to do events. So it seems like that would be a good topic at some point. And you've got Visit Slow in the county that is very active in research and marketing. It was, I know folks were a little upset at one time with promotion being put out there to encourage more people coming. And then there were some counties that actually spent their tourism money to tell people not to come, and people weren't very excited about spending their hard-earned transient occupancy tax on that. But it seems like, you know, it might be too late for this year. If things change, it might be a topic in the future.
So you've mentioned the tourism thing before, and I just want to throw this out there so you can think about it. We would need to link it to health. Right. So,
well, the issue is if you're trying to, you essentially, the tourism industry in San Luis with Visit Slow got started because our county was being outspent 4-1 by other counties in spending money to tell people from all over the country to come here. And so that's where there was a disconnect when you've got, you know, people trying to get people to visit when the health department's trying to, you know, be cautious about out-of-state travel and encouraging people not to do that. So that was, I think, this year and last year it was a connection, and you were actually spending money that would be counter-health productive.
Just as Candace could be, you know, as we're looking at food security, part of our tourism and issues is that we are a huge agricultural community in, you know, San Luis Obispo County, and saying, you know, how safe things are and food and all the rest, that's important. I mean, wine industry is okay, but I mean, it's one for part of it.
We can talk about health of ag workers.
Well, and two, just the food itself.
But there's a real
and that we are actually, one thing that's really, I think that we need to showcase is the fact that we do use any of the food that, you know, is extra, they harvest and it goes into our food bank, and those food security is something too. I think that we could kind of, you know, work that all together.
One thing that hasn't happened, like we're always as a licensed bed and breakfast inspected by the health department. We haven't been inspected in a year. I don't know anybody that has. You know, there's aspects of public health that just aren't able to be implemented, and that has some impact. Because there was a caterers have had a tough time trying to get information and their field with the, you know, health department. With there was such a push of resources in, you know, kind of the front line, so to speak, it was a little slower to respond, I think, in some of those other areas that, you know, like buffets were a big problem and a lot of health related issues. But it's kind of come and gone now. I wouldn't see that as critical now. It was kind of an issue last year and this year, but things have moved on.
Yeah, I think it might be an item to discuss in our July planning meeting, because that will also give us some time to see where things shake out as the community reopens again, and to see, you know, if all of the processes are starting to shift, you know, in the right direction again. So it may be a good idea to just highlight this as a potential topic of discussion for our planning meeting in July.
Okay, I put that down. That's great. Anybody else have any meetings that they attended? I did attend the Adult Services Policy Council Zoom meeting on the presentation about the Mesteco and all the translation issues. I shared this with the community education group because, you know, as we're trying to connect with this population, there were some, you know, her name is Ivrid Gilbert, and I gave that contact information to our ad hoc committee, well, actually to the education committee. But it was nice to see that there are people out there that trying to get people that have communication issues, you know, when you're thinking about language and what you can actually do to connect with people. There are people out there that we have as a resource. So that was the presentation, and it was well received. And it's really interesting to see all the not-for-profits share what they're actually doing in the community. One thing that is really nice for us to remember is that 211 is a very good resource in our community. You can call 211, and the United Way is keeping it up to date. Anyone that needs respite money and things like that, they made a new list, and they have the most recent list there. So, you know, just know that those resources are available in our community. Anybody else? Any other meetings? Okay. Committee reports. Did we have any budget? I don't think anyone met except for our education committee. And that was a wonderful meeting. We had a lot of good discussion, which we shared with the rest of the group. And the nominating committee, it looks like we still have one open seat. Is that correct, Michael, as a community member?
Yes, we still have one, it looks like, vacant community member seat that has been vacant for a while. We haven't really received any interest in it. We had two people a couple of months ago that were interested, but they never continued the communication after being notified where the application was.
Is there a name you want to share with me? I could call them and see if they're still interested. Just
We didn't move that far along. It started with the initial interest, and then sort of got the regular email showing them with links where to go for the application, and there was no further contact from them at that point. And I do also have an update on a question you asked earlier. It actually looks like we do not have any members with expiring seats this year.
Okay.
So it'll be easy year on one front.
So no expiring, but we just have to make sure that the slate of officers, and I'll give people a call about
yes.
that. And if anyone has a burning desire to become more active, you know, just let me know. You know how to get a hold of me.
I already learned my lesson about that.
Well, with no other committee reports, is there any move to adjourn the meeting?
So move. I think you can just adjourn it, can't you?
It's adjourned.
Yes,
we can.
Okay. Well, I guess we hurried through this meeting, but I look forward to hearing from Candace and Tamara as far as how we can move forward, and I will help any way I can. I know that there are two sites in North County that would possibly need some kind of a health professional to, you know, host or to be answering questions that you put together as far as a pre-recorded session. And I believe you're willing to do the same. What's nice, because we have people kind of all over the county. The one where we're having issues will be South County, so we'll see how things evolve.
So a question for Michael. You'll follow up with St. Louis Council of Governments then and get them on the agenda for the June meeting for a presentation?
For pedestrian safety, yes. If you have any other links for anyone else you'd like to be contacted for that, let me know. Send me the contact information, and I'll send out an email about 3 weeks before the meeting.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think if you just go through SLOCOG, they have access to, you know, lots of resources, so they'll do a good job. Thanks.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good job, Sherry.
Okay.
Yeah, good job. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody who did make it here. And hopefully we can get a quorum if we can get everything put together.
Sounds good. Okay. Good night, everybody. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye.